Little bit, probably over the next couple of weeks, we're going to talk a little bit about cults. I don't know if anybody's ever done any study on cults, but they're real fun. And you can get into some cults and you can just absolutely just, it's amazing the things that you can go down and you can go through in them. And we could go and we could exhaust some of these things for weeks upon weeks upon weeks, but we're not going to do it that way, okay? We're going to kind of hit the high points on the different things, and we're going to kind of just go through it. I want to give you an idea of different cults that are going on, different things you need to be aware of, okay? The reason why we're going to go through this is mainly because I want you to be informed. We talked about studying, we talked about reading, and I hope you're still doing that. I hope you're still reading. I hope you're still studying the Word of God. And I hope that you take all that stuff to heart that we taught in the past couple weeks, and eventually we'll get back around and we'll teach on it again. You say, well, that's all repetitive, but you learn from repetitiveness, right? So we're going to talk a little bit about cults because I want you to understand that every religious organization that's set up isn't always right. It's just because it has a church building or because it has a steeple on it or because they say they're religious doesn't mean that it's correct. There is a right way and there is a wrong way. And if it goes away from this book right here, then it's wrong. That's just facts of it. It's wrong. If it goes away, if it pulls away from the deity of Jesus Christ, if it pulls away from salvation by grace alone, then it's wrong. There's no other questions about it. So we're going to talk a little bit about that because I want you to be informed. I want you to understand that there's things that you see in your day-to-day walk. And I want you to be able to be aware of those things. You may not know all the ins and outs of every denomination or every cult that's out there, but you need to at least have an idea of what's going on in the world today. I'm also going to say this. I don't mean to make you upset with this study, okay? Because this study can get people upset real quick, like, all right? The reason why it can make you upset is because you know people that go to some of these churches. You know some people that believe the way that they say, and it can be hard. Me and my wife were talking about it this week because her grandmother was a Jehovah's Witness, and that's a tough thing. It's a tough thing to deal with, and she died as a Jehovah's Witness, and I pray to God that she got her salvation settled somewhere, but if she went by that doctrine, I'm sorry to tell you, but she's burning in hell today. That's just the facts of it. It ain't easy. It's not easy to take that in and understand it, but I'm here to tell you right now, if you go against the Word of God, then you've only got one other direction to go towards. So these things are not to make you upset. They're to make you aware. They're things to give you some tools that you can be able to say, hey, maybe you come across somebody. Maybe you've got a family member. Maybe you've got a friend. Maybe you've got a coworker. Maybe you just meet somebody and they say, hey, I go to this kind of church or this kind of organization. You'll be able to say, hey, have you ever thought about this? And there's a way to handle those things. There's a way to do those things in the right way. Some of the cults that are out there today, I got a list of them right here, and this is just a few of them. There's probably hundreds more, but these are the few that we're probably going to talk about over the course of time. One is the Church of Christ. One is Jehovah's Witness. Mennonites, Mormons, New Age, Roman Catholic. That's a big one. That's a big one. Seventh-day Adventist, Unification Church, the Worldwide Church of God, Calvinistic doctrine. That's creeping up real close to home right there, folks. I want you to understand that. That one right there scares me a little bit. It don't scare me for what I believe, it scares me for church in general. These Southern Baptist churches are real pushing that Calvinistic point of view real hard right now. And it kind of bothers me. So you have Calvinists, you have Charismatics, and you have Christian Science. That one's cool. I don't know if we're going to get into that one yet or not, but that one's real fun. A cult is a religious organization that denies scriptural admonishment or changes the context of Scripture for their cause or belief. I saw this on Facebook the other day, and I thought that it was pretty good if I can get it pulled up here. Says the devil is not fighting religion. He's too smart for that. He is producing a counterfeit Christianity so much like the real one that good Christians are afraid to speak out against it. pretty good, ain't it? Now, that was an old-timey preacher that quoted that 36 years ago. 36 years ago he quoted that. Imagine what he'd say today. Imagine what he would have to say today about it. That's the way that it is. Everything looks good because it's a religion. And we've gotten into this world where we cater to some of those things. We say, well, at least they believe something. It's not good enough. At least they read something. It's not good enough. Why do we have to act like that? It kind of gets under my skin just a little bit. Because we've just said Christianity can be whatever you want it to be today. It's the way we act, right? You say, no, not me. But when's the last time you talked about what you believed in? When's the last time that somebody walked up to you and said, hey, I believe this way, and you say that's contrary to what the Word of God says? Does that mean you have to take this Bible and shove it down their throat? No. You do everything in an appropriate way. But that does not mean that you have to just accept what they do. Amen? You don't have to accept what they do. You don't have to accept it at all. The Bible says in Colossians 4, verse 6, the Bible says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. There's a way to handle situations. There's a way to handle cults. There's a way to look at things. So we know what a cult, a definition is. A cult will deny the virgin birth of Christ. It'll deny the Trinity or the Godhead. And the gospel of salvation by grace apart from works. All cults are made up of people searching for truth that are persuaded to follow non-truth. It's pretty good. They're all searching for something, right? Now, I was talking to a guy. I may have said it last week. I'm not sure, but I was talking to a guy at Buckmaster's, and we were talking about a little bit about that last week. And we said something about he said something to the effect of, "We know what our hope is in." And he was talking about his organization and how they help veterans and all these kind of things. And I've been looking into that ministry that he does this past week and trying to get some ideas about some stuff, because he was asking me about being a contact for some of these people in this area, and I was open to all of that. And I was talking to him about all that, and he said, you know, we know where our only hope is. As Christians, as people who believe in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we know where our hope is. But did you know that everybody else is looking for some kind of hope? Everybody else is looking for some kind of hope. It doesn't matter whether they use a different religion to get there. They're looking for some kind of hope. It doesn't matter what they put it in. They're looking for some kind of hope, right? Even the people who say there is no God, they're still trying to find some hope in this world. They're trying to find some comfort, something that eases them down just a little bit. Now, we know as Christians that there's only one hope, and that's through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Take your Bibles and turn to Exodus chapter 32. Exodus chapter 32. Talking about cults. Exodus chapter 32. Verse 15. Most of you have read these scriptures before. The Bible says, and Moses turned and went down from the mount, and the two tables of the testimony were in his hand, and the tables were written on both their sides, on the one side and on the other were they written. And the tables were the works of God, and the writing was the writing of God, graven upon the tables. And when Joshua heard the noise and the people, as they shouted, he said unto Moses, there is a noise of war in the camp. And he said, it is not the voice of them that shout for mastery, neither is it the voice of them that cry for being overcome, but the noise of them that sing do I hear. And it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing. And Moses' anger waxed hot. And he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it into the fire and ground it into powder and strawed it upon, I can't see this morning, and strawed it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, What did these people unto thee, that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people, that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man. I'm going to have to get my eyes fixed. Woo! Killing me. For they said unto me, Make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what is become of him. You got this story here going on, and you got Moses. He's gone up into the mountain, and he's gotten the Ten Commandments from God. He's written them on these tablets. So you know you have all this set up. Then he comes down and he realizes they have made a calf, a golden image, right? I would say this is probably one of the first cults that you're dealing with. This hasn't happened before. They've taken a little g god, they placed it up there, and they started worshiping this thing. Why? Because Moses took a little bit of time. They were wondering where he was at. What happened to him? Why hasn't he come down yet? So they got upset about it, so they decided they'd take a calf, and they decided they would start worshiping this thing. You think Moses got mad about that? I would say that he did. Now, he got in trouble because he got mad. Don't get me wrong. He got a little bit of trouble because he got mad. Why? The second time, he had to write them, right? Second time, he's chiseling them. First time, God took care of it. Second time, hey, you're going to pay for that. He got a little angry. So what did he do? He threw the tablets down. They broke. But what did he also do? He destroyed that calf. He burned it. Made it into powder. Made him drink it. Made him eat it. Why? He was upset about the situation. Why was he so upset about the situation? They forsook the first commandment in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That's the same thing that we live by today. If you serve anything other than Jesus Christ, you have a problem. There's a problem there. And we act like there's not a lot of that going on nowadays, but there is in these cults. This morning I want to look at some cults, where they came from, their beliefs and everything, versus the Scripture. The first one we're going to talk about this morning, if I can get my eyes where I can see, or I'm going to have to get somebody to come read this stuff for me. The Church of Christ is the first one we're going to talk about. The Church of Christ say they are the only true church. That's pretty cool, ain't it? I guess they think they got it all figured out, don't they? They're the only true church. They claim this on the basis of Scripture found in Romans 16:16. They say, salute one another with an holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Now, what I've never really understood why they base that on their Scripture is because churches is plural in that Scripture. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? Just saying. I'm just saying. Now, you will find in a common thread with all of these cults. In fact, I haven't found one yet that agrees with the King James Bible being the infallible and inerrant Word of God. I hadn't found one yet. Okay? If you come across one, I'd like to know about it, because so far I hadn't come across one that says, hey, this is the infallible and inerrant Word of God. That's where their first problem lies. If you don't have truth, it's hard to really understand what truth is. It's also easy to take scriptures and start manipulating things. If you want to do a really good study, I thought about this week. There's an app you can download on your phone. Everybody got a smartphone, pretty much, I understand. If you don't, disregard what I'm saying. But if you've got a smartphone, there's an app you ought to download. It's called Blue Letter Bible. It's a great Bible app, okay? It's really good. The coolest thing about it is, one, it has a Bible reading little layout for you. So you can actually go in there. It'll send you notifications to read X scriptures for the day and all these kind of things. And it keep you up to date with things. It's also easy because you always got your cell phone on you, right? It's amazing. You used to have your Bible, and now you have your cell phone. Not going to get on that, but I'm just saying, just throwing that out there for you. You always got your cell phone on you. But it is convenient, because why? There's many times I can pull that cell phone up, pull Blue Letter Bible up, and I can find a scripture I'm looking for. So it's pretty cool to have the Bible there. But what's really neat about it is, it has every translation that's ever been written in there. And you can download the ones specifically that you want to see, which is really neat. So what you can do is you can take this Blue Letter Bible and you can put it in parallel mode. You can see the King James Bible version over here on the left side, and on the right side can be whatever you want it to be. Be any other translation you want it to be. If you want to get some really good study, you ought to try that every once in a while. Just compare them. What's really fun is when you come across one that took it completely out. There's a bunch of them that change words. Change a lot of words. Changes a lot of things. When you start changing words, it may seem like a small thing, but it can change the complete context of the whole entire scripture. You can take away from the deity of Jesus Christ like that. And I know most of you have studied the Word of God, but that is a good way to look at it. If you ever get this parallel thing, you can start doing that. So the Church of Christ, they also believe in new Bibles. Now, I'm not saying that all of these churches use different Bibles. I don't know. I don't go to them. Okay, I can't go to every Church of Christ that's in establishment right now. I can't go see every single one of them. So I'm not saying that they all use something other than the King James Bible, but most of them use something other than King James Bible. The Church of Christ was formed in the 1820s in Kentucky. So according to them, there would be no church before the 1820s, right? That don't make a whole lot of sense, now does it? Didn't Paul talk about some churches over there in Corinth, in Thessalonica, in Philippi, Colossae? I mean, I'm just saying. Now, I'm going to tell you some stuff, but there is some stuff you can look a little deeper in, okay? I told you, we could take each one of these and probably stay on it for like months, but it's just overview, okay? So if you want to go look into some more in-depth stuff, you go right ahead. Enjoy yourself. I've been down that hole, and it's a long, long one. I ain't even found the end of the tunnel yet on that one. You can go for days on there. So it was formed in 1820s in Kentucky. It was founded by Alexander Campbell. Like a lot of cults, the Church of Christ are known as baptismal regeneration. Baptism is a must for salvation. It's not an option. It's a must. Unknowing to most Baptist regenerationalists, the water takes the place of the blood atonement. That is what that means. You do some study on that, you get into those things. They say it takes the place of the blood atonement. The blood of Jesus Christ is the only thing that atones for sin. I make no apologies for that. I don't care how many times you go in that pool right there, it doesn't do anything but make you wet. That's all that it is. I like it. I enjoy it. I hope we get to baptize 100 more in it. 1,000, whatever. Doesn't make any difference. I hope we get to do it. Why? Because it's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's just a picture. It's nothing more. If you go in it lost, you'll come out of it lost. If you go in it saved, it don't make you any more saved. It's just a picture. These people that take the Word of God and they just try to manipulate it, they try to make it fit how they want to, it just blows my mind. They make the Bible more complicated than it has to be. Why do they do that? Because they want to have a work salvation. They don't have a work salvation. Why would you want to have a work salvation? Brother Tim, would you Would you enjoy having to get up and make sure you do everything perfectly right every single day just so you could make it? Absolutely not. Why would you? Why would you want to think, hey, I got to get baptized. I got to get baptized. What did we talk about last week after church was over? Then he got baptized. He was saved, then he got baptized. That kind of messes up your doctrine, don't it? What about that thief on that cross we talked about too? Now, this is a nugget, whatever you want to call it. It's cool. We talked about it. I think it's the first person that got saved by grace alone. I can't prove it, but there ain't no other record of anything else. You know why? Because Jesus Christ died, then he died. When Jesus Christ died, it was a full atonement, right? Before that, you didn't have a full atonement, you had a partial atonement. And we've studied that. We've looked at some dispensational things when it comes to that. Now he's got a full atonement. He said, this day you'll be in paradise. Guess what? There wasn't no water. It wasn't a lick of water. It wasn't no works either. He didn't make a sacrifice. He just acknowledged him. That's all he did. He just said, hey, this is God. This is God. Hey, just remember me. Just remember me. He didn't even ask him to save him. He just said, remember me. He acknowledged, hey, I'm the one who's in the wrong. I deserve where I'm at. I deserve this, but you don't. You don't deserve where I'm at. We're not the same. See, that's good when you get into but these people that live under this world of this work salvation just blows my mind because it's so simply laid out in the Word of God. It's such a simple thing. I'm running out of time, so we're not going to go into some of these scriptures. Most of you have heard these scriptures. We've talked about these scriptures before, so we're going to kind of go across them. Baptism and regeneration comes from Acts 2 and verse 38. This remission is a putting on hold, not a forgiveness of sins at this point in time in Acts. That's dispensational teaching right there. If you want to look into it, look at Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. They also like to go to Mark 16:16. That's where you get some more of that have to be baptized doctrine. Now, when you read these verses, you will see a work salvation. Baptism regeneration is works salvation. We know that baptism does not and cannot save you. Turn to Romans chapter 10. We are going to go look at this one. And if I had to stop, we'll pick it up next week. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And this is where we're going to probably end up right here this morning. We're going to talk about this little point, and then we'll close out for the morning. But I wanted to read these scriptures because you understand this is a non-work salvation right here. You didn't have to do anything for it. All you had to do was believe. It's a free gift of salvation. It's handed unto you. It's unto all, but it's only upon them that actually believe it. It's only upon them that have to believe it. The Bible says, thou shalt be saved. Here's you another nugget, okay? If you're not listening, you're going to miss it. And if you are listening, you still may miss it. So listen to me, okay? It's good. Shall and should are different. Amen right there. That's good whether you like it or not. You like it, lump it, bump it, choke on it. Don't make any difference to me. That's an unconditional salvation. versus a conditional salvation. Kind of goes back to my nugget that I gave you last week. I ain't ready to tell you yet because you ain't ready for it. You ain't ready for it yet. But it goes hand in hand. Salvation throughout the ages is different. It's a work. It's a work. It's a work. It's not a work. He died on the cross. Shall and should are different. Get it right. You better understand it. Read the Word of God. I told you this before, and I'll probably tell you again. Do you really read it? Do you really study it? Or do you just kind of surface skim over the top of it? Do you actually take it and kind of analyze it a little bit and say, hey, who is it talking to? Has he even died yet? Has he went to the cross yet? I mean, that's just the minute side of it. I mean, you can get into Acts, get in that transitional period, you can have yourself a time right there. Just have yourself a time. You can hear all that stuff, the Jews first, and also to the Greek. Mm-hmm. But he said we're the same right here. Something changed, right? We're all on the same playing field. It's not a work salvation. As much as Church of Christ want to make it a work salvation, it's not a work salvation. You can't get baptized enough for it. You can't do enough good works for it. And I hate to tell them, but they ain't the only church. They're not the only true church. They're just another cult. You say, well, cult seems like a harsh word. It is what it is. Like I said, I don't tell you this stuff to make you upset. I don't tell you this stuff to make you mad. People have friends and families that go to these places. I just want you to know what the truth is. I just want you to get some background on some things. I just want you to understand what the Word of God says about stuff so that you can help somebody else. So that you can help somebody else. This morning we're going to stop right there. I could go into some other stuff, but we'll kind of hit into that next week, and I'll finish up the Church of Christ next week, and then we'll get into something else probably. I hope that you've gotten something out of the Word of God this morning. I hope that you've